Hello, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Welcome to Derek Prince Legacy Radio.
Derek Prince Legacy Radio, a broadcast outreach of Derek Prince Ministries, bringing you the very best from the vast teaching archive of author and Bible teacher Derek Prince. Your guide to the Derek Prince legacy is New York Times bestselling author and speaker, Stephen Mansfield.
Hello, and welcome to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield, and I hope you're having a wonderful Friday right after Thanksgiving. Probably looking for a workout, probably looking to work off a few calories like me, but thank God for a great weekend to celebrate the heritage of our nation. Derek Prince has been teaching a marvelous series on what it means to be a patriot, and today he's going to talk about a theme I just love, and it's the difference that a person can make as they pray for their nation. If yesterday was about food and football for you, and that's perfectly fine, let today be about renewing a sense of Christian heritage and learning to be an intercessor for America. Let's listen as Derek teaches us what it means to be a patriot.
First of all, we need to define what an intercessor is. Literally, by its derivation, the word intercessor means somebody who comes in between. So we have to understand how that applies. An intercessor is one who comes in between God on the one hand and those who deserve God's wrath and judgment on the other hand. He stands in between God and man, and he holds back the wrath and the judgment of God. There are many wonderful examples in the Bible of men who were intercessors. In fact, the really great saints of the Bible tended to be also the great intercessors, men like Abraham. I spoke earlier this week how Abraham stood before the Lord, wouldn't let him go on his way to Sodom until he'd persuaded God that if there were only 10 righteous persons in that city, he'd spare the whole city for their sake. Men like Moses, who interceded on behalf of Israel, men like Daniel. And also we have to include Jesus himself. When on the cross he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." That's intercession. I want to take a picture today from the prophet Ezekiel of a nation in desperate need, with the wrath and the judgment of God hanging over it. And I want to see what God had to say about the need for an intercessor. This is found in Ezekiel chapter 22, beginning at verse 23 through verse 31. "And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, say unto her, Thou art the land that is not cleansed, nor rained upon in the day of indignation." It takes the rain of God's Holy Spirit, released by intercessory prayer, to cleanse a land or a nation, to withhold God's indignation. Then the Lord continues, and he pictures the situation in Israel in Ezekiel's day. "There is a conspiracy of her prophets in the midst thereof, like a roaring lion ravening the prey. They have devoured souls. They have taken the treasure and precious things. They have made her many widows in the midst thereof. Her priests have violated my law and have profaned mine holy things. Her princes in the midst thereof are like wolves ravening the prey to shed blood and to destroy souls to get dishonest gain. And her prophets have daubed them with untempered mortar, seeing vanity and divining lies unto them, saying, Thus saith the Lord God, when the Lord hath not spoken. The people of the land have used oppression and exercised robbery and have vexed the poor and needy. Yea, they have oppressed the stranger wrongfully." Let me pause for a moment and just analyze that picture. Ezekiel goes right down the line, every section of the community, one after the other. He speaks first of all of the prophets, then of the priests, then of the princes or secular rulers, and then of the whole people. I think it's very significant that the problem begins with the spiritual people, the prophets, those who ought to have a word from God for the people, but they fail. Then there's the priests, what I would call the representatives of religion, the church leaders. And then there's the princes, the men in secular government. And finally, the whole people. And so we see an entire nation is corrupted all the way through, from top to bottom. Now, how does God respond to this situation? He continues in Ezekiel 22, verses 30 and 31. And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found none. Therefore have I poured out mine indignation upon them. I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath. Their own way have I recompensed upon their heads, saith the Lord God. Confronted by this total national breakdown, what did God look for? It's very interesting, very significant. He said, I sought for a man among them, one man. What kind of a man? An intercessor. How does he describe him? That should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land. That's the intercessor, the one who stands between God and the objects of his just wrath. And he withholds the wrath of God by standing there before God. In a sense, he interposes himself and says, God, you have every right to strike these people with your judgment. They deserve your judgment. But I'm standing between you and them. And if you strike them, you're going to have to strike me first. There's an awful sense of the holiness of God, and yet a tremendous boldness in the true intercessor. He's totally convinced of God's righteousness, God's judgment, and yet he's prepared to be, as it were, a kind of lightning rod between God and the people that deserve his judgment. So God looked for one man like that, but there was not one. Isn't that a tragedy? Not one intercessor. And then God continues, therefore have I poured out mine indignation upon them. In other words, one man who did what God required could have saved an entire nation, but there wasn't one. So there was nothing to withhold God's wrath from that nation. Do you think that our nation today could be somewhat close to that situation? Don't you think that today one of the most desperate needs is someone to stand in the gap, make up the hedge for the people of the land, to be an intercessor? Could there be any greater need or any greater privilege or any higher calling than that, to be an intercessor for your people? I draw some lessons from that. The first lesson is that even one intercessor can save a whole nation. Second, that when there's no intercessor, there's no more hope. And third, that perhaps the ultimate mark of the hardness of the hearts of God's people is when they can no longer produce even one intercessor. Is that the situation in our land today? Are you willing to offer yourself to God as an intercessor for your people?
I'm so glad that Derek is demystifying what it means to be an intercessor, because I want to be one. There's so much more ahead as Derek Prince Legacy Radio continues.
Each day's news brings us a stream of growing threats to our nation's future. Threats of terrorism on an unprecedented scale, a rising tide of hostility to traditional biblical values, anti-Semitism spreading like a cancer, moral decay and family disintegration. You may wonder, is there hope for America? The answer is a resounding yes. Yes. In his inspiring DVD, God's Heart for America, Derek Prince uses prophetic insight and his unique vantage point as an immigrant to offer spirit-led words of both encouragement and warning. In the process, he reveals the vital role you play in the destiny of a great nation. To order your copy of Derek's DVD, God's Heart for America, for only $9.95. Call toll-free 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Watch this insightful DVD to be encouraged and forewarned, because the future of America lies squarely in your hands. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. or purchase your copy securely online at derekprince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield, and we're about to hear the conclusion of a whole beautiful week of teaching. All week long, Derek has been teaching us about what it means to be a patriot, and it's been such a perfect fit for a Thanksgiving holiday week with all of us thinking about our heritage and about pilgrims and about the Christian influence on our country. And now we're coming down to the last few moments where Derek is going to round out this teaching and make application to our lives. Let's listen as Derek concludes this powerful series on what it truly means to be a patriot.
I want to speak from the example of one of the great prophets of the Old Testament, the prophet Elisha, and I want to focus on a particular situation in the career of Elisha. It's described in the second book of Kings, chapter 6. At that time, Syria was at war with Elisha's people, Israel, and the Syrian king would send invading forces into Israel to attack Israel. But they never succeeded in their attacks on Israel because Israel always seemed to know in advance just where they were going to attack and what they were going to do. And so eventually the king of Syria said, "Which of you people in my staff is on the side of the king of Israel? Because we can never take them by surprise. They always know where we're going to be in advance." And one of his servants said, "None of us is on the side of the king of Israel, but Elisha the prophet in Israel tells the king of Israel the very words you speak in your bedroom." And so the king of Syria decided that it wasn't worth making war on Israel as a whole. The man he needed to get hold of was this prophet Elisha, who always knew beforehand his strategy against Elisha's people, Israel. So the king of Syria sent a big army with horses and chariots just for one purpose, to capture Elisha. It always appeals to me that Elisha was so important that the king of Syria thought it was worth sending an army to get one man. I think it's a kind of challenge to us as God's people that we need to have some impact on society and on history. I wonder, for instance, whether there's anybody who'd find it worthwhile sending an army to capture you or capture me. And if not, I wonder if we're really doing our job. Anyhow, the king of Syria sent this army, and they heard that Elisha was in a certain city. So in the night, they came up against the city and surrounded it to besiege it. And then next morning, when Elisha's servant got up, he suddenly discovered that the whole city was surrounded, and he was terribly alarmed. Now I'll read from there on in this record, 2 Kings chapter 6, beginning at verse 15 through verse 17. When the servant of the man of God, that's Elisha the man of God, got up and went out early the next morning, an army with horses and chariots had surrounded the city. "Oh, my Lord, what shall we do?" the servant asked. He was terrified. "Don't be afraid," the prophet answered. "Those who are with us are more than those who are with them." And Elisha prayed, "O Lord, open his eyes so he may see." Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. You see, there was an invisible army involved in this battle. The servant of the prophet couldn't see it until the prophet prayed for his eyes to be opened. So there was the physical army, the army of Syria, the enemies of Israel, encamped around the city. But there was another invisible army on all the mountains round about. And this second invisible army, which was God's army, and remember, the Lord is the Lord of hosts. He's the Lord of armies. If you think that earth has got armies, you need to pause and consider that the Lord has heavenly armies. That's one of his great titles, the Lord of hosts, the Lord of armies. And the Lord's armies were all around that situation. But what really blesses me, the point that I want to bring out and emphasize, is that when the eyes of that servant were opened, it says he looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. That's what I mean by being a magnet for the forces of God. Elisha had a relationship with God such that the armies of heaven surrounded Elisha. He was a magnet for the protective forces of God for his people. They didn't surround the city. They didn't surround the governor of the city. It wasn't the secular rulers, but it was that one man of God, Elisha, who truly knew and served God, who had the mind of the Lord, who knew how to pray. And the armies of heaven were focused on Elisha. What were the two aspects of Elisha's ministry? Very simply, I'd put it this way. He represented God to the people, and he represented the people to God. He was the one who could unfold to his people the counsel of God, the mind of God, the secrets of God, the judgments of God, the requirements of God. But he didn't just do that. He also was a man of prayer, an intercessor like we were talking about yesterday. And so he also represented his people to God. He called out for mercy. He called out for protection. He called out for help. And so the armies of heaven surrounded Elisha. You know, I have an ambition. I don't know whether I can achieve it, but my ambition is to be the kind of servant of God that God surrounds with his armies. I believe there is no greater way that any person can serve his nation or his people than being a magnet for the armies of heaven. Just to complete this picture of Elisha and his position in his people Israel, I want to turn on in the book of 2 Kings to the 13th chapter, to the scene where Elisha is on his deathbed. And as he lies there on his deathbed, the king of Israel, who was not a particularly godly man, so far as I can understand, came down and wept over him. This is the scene as it's described there in 2 Kings chapter 13 and verse 14. Now Elisha was suffering from the illness from which he died. Jehoash, king of Israel, went down to see him and wept over him. "My father, my father," he cried, "the chariots and horsemen of Israel." That king, as far as I can understand, was not normally a very spiritual man. But when he heard that Elisha was on his deathbed, he suddenly realized that as king, he didn't have control over the situation. He didn't have the answers. And maybe somewhat belatedly, he realized the real significance of Elisha. God was about to take away the man around whom heaven's armies mustered. And so the king went down, and he cried, "My father, my father." He realized that in a certain sense, Elisha had been the father figure in Israel, the one who represented the fatherhood of God, the authority of God, the reverence that God deserved. And then he said to him, "The chariots and horsemen of Israel." What did he mean? He saw something in the spirit. He saw the same thing that the servant had seen when the city was besieged earlier. He saw that all heaven's forces centered around this man of God. And he was terribly distressed and grief-stricken because he saw that the nation was about to lose its true defense. That always stays with me. What kind of persons should you and I be as Christians in our nation? Shouldn't we have something of the same effect on the nation as Elisha? Shouldn't we be, by our lives, by our witness, by our prayers, by representing God, shouldn't we be the kind of people around whom the armies of heaven muster, and thus be the chariot and the horsemen of our people?
You know, that gets me stirred up to have somebody tell me that I should be having the kind of effect on my community that Elisha had on his whole nation. You know, we really are meant to be a people of impact, and we've become a people of retreat. It's time for a change, and there's so much more to come as Derek Prince, Legacy Radio, continues.
Each day's news brings us a stream of growing threats to our nation's future. Threats of terrorism on an unprecedented scale, a rising tide of hostility to traditional biblical values, anti-Semitism spreading like a cancer, moral decay and family disintegration. You may wonder, is there hope for America? The answer is a resounding yes.
Yes.
In his inspiring DVD, God's Heart for America, Derek Prince uses prophetic insight and his unique vantage point as an immigrant to offer Spirit-led words of both encouragement and warning. In the process, he reveals the vital role you play in the destiny of a great nation. To order your copy of Derek's DVD, God's Heart for America, for only $9.95, call toll-free 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Watch this insightful DVD to be encouraged and forewarned, because the future of America lies squarely in your hands. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or purchase your copy securely online at derekprince.org.
You know, I'm deeply stirred by the theme that Derek has been talking to us about regarding being a magnet for God's forces. I had an idea for a novel once. It was a novel that would be about a person whose life in a community was determining the direction of that community. If they began to watch unrighteous things on TV, the whole community would begin to be sort of tainted or putrefied by that. If they begin to turn, let's say, towards lust, well, then the whole community, it was as though the Council of Heaven had met and decided to let one life become the determinant life of that entire community. And the novel would follow that individual. If they began to turn towards anger or have a spirit of rage in their life, the whole community would be affected. And it would be in the newspapers, but it would take a while in the novel for us to figure out exactly what was going on. I want to suggest to you that this funny little idea that I had for a novel is exactly the way it is, that we are living lives that affect the direction of our communities. And I love the fact that in this Thanksgiving week, that Derek has brought this to our minds, because, you know, the reality is that our nation is in a crisis. The reality is that our nation is in a moment of decision. Yes, we have a president who affirms the gospel. Yes, we have righteous people trying to lead us. But with a war overseas, terrorism around the world, political and various other forms of division happening in our country, we desperately need for Christians to live as though their life is determinant in this nation, that their life sets the direction for this nation. That's what it really means to be a patriot, to walk in the way of the fathers, which is what the word patriot means in Latin. It means to fulfill your destiny in the nation where God has set you. And I want to put this right on your front porch. Are you living the life you are called to live in terms of this nation? Are you using the second coming or your own comfort or any other thing to excuse you from the determinant, impacting life that you are called to lead? Derek Prince has taught us that we ought to be patriots in the truest possible sense. But perhaps more than that, Jesus has called us to occupy until he comes. Do it. Live it with passion. Light a flame in this Thanksgiving week that inspires you and stirs you and causes you to live in a way that changes your world. That's what glorifies Jesus, and that's what enables you to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus has taken hold of you. It's been great having you with us. I hope you've had a wonderful Thanksgiving week. This has been a powerful teaching. You won't want to miss next Monday as we start another amazing series. And so for everyone from Derek Prince Ministries, this is Stephen Mansfield. We're thankful for you, we're thankful for our nation, and we're thankful for the power of the gospel in our world. Don't miss Monday as the legacy continues.
Take a moment right now to order your own copy of Derek's DVD, God's Heart for America, for only $9.95 when you call 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Thank you for your faithful financial support. It's because of friends like you that Derek Prince Legacy Radio is on the air. Call 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or, in Canada, call 888-737-0771. And of course, you can give your support securely online at derekprince.org. Derek Prince Legacy Radio is a broadcast outreach of Derek Prince Ministries and produced in association with Audio Aviators. For more information about anything heard on today's program, visit us on the web at derekprince.org. That's derekprince.org.